Hello, friends, and greetings on this Palm Sunday, the last Sunday of the season of Lent. Today marks the beginning of what the Christian tradition calls Holy Week, the week when we remember the moments and events leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection, starting with Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on a donkey, when people laid palms on the street in his honor. Later that week, he would share a meal with his disciples, a very special meal because it was the Passover meal and because it was his last meal with his friends before his death. And after that meal, he washed his disciples' feet. It was a picture of his love poured out and a profound model of humility for us. That night, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus went with his disciples to pray, he was arrested. And the following day, after a short and unjust trial, he was nailed to a cross. On Good Friday, we take time to remember the love poured out for us in this extraordinary sacrifice of God. That's where this week is headed. But here, at the beginning of the week, let's take a moment to focus on something that happened 6 days before Jesus' crucifixion. We read about it in the Gospel of Mark. It's the story of a woman who did something extravagant as a personal act of devotion to honor Jesus and pour out her heart to him. Let's read the story.
While Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. Made of pure nard, she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. Poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.
So the setting is Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, at the house of Simon the leper. A meal is taking place, and in the middle of that meal, a woman comes in, and without any kind of greeting or permission seeking, in fact, without any words at all, she does something amazing. She takes a flask of ointment, perfumed with nard, and breaks it. Then she pours it over Jesus' head. Now, this perfume wasn't just any perfume. It was extremely costly perfume. It cost, in fact, nearly a year's worth of wages. That's a lot of money. Would you take a moment with me to picture the scene? Imagine the people gathered in the house around a meal. What's the setting like? Perhaps it's a little crowded. There's the banter of conversation. Can you hear the commotion as the woman enters the room, as she approaches Jesus? Can you feel the social awkwardness of her interruption? Do you see the gaze of her witnesses? Are they taken back by her boldness? Perhaps they're shaking their heads at her lack of tact. As she breaks the flask and pours the perfume on Jesus' head, can you smell the sweetness? Now, imagine the woman as her brave and humble and beautiful act of devotion to Jesus is being openly criticized around her. First, one man breaks the silence and speaks, then another, then others join in. Their words are heavy. They strongly accuse her of being wasteful, There is a tone of disapproval in their voices. Now picture the woman in these moments as the men rail on. What is her posture? What do you think she's feeling? Where do you picture her directing her gaze? In the midst of these harsh criticisms, Jesus opens his mouth. He opens his mouth on the woman's behalf. He defends her choice to pour out the expensive ointment. He says this, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me." Jesus receives the woman's bold gift as a beautiful act of honor, a daring expression of love, perhaps a kind of prayer. Now, can you picture the woman as Jesus is speaking, as he is defending her among her accusers? How might her posture be shifting? What about her gaze? How do you think she's feeling now? Let's read the last line. Jesus says this to those who have witnessed this woman's act. "Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Jesus has not only vindicated the woman before her accusers, but he has made a prophetic statement that her act will be remembered indefinitely. That the story of this moment, of this unnamed woman, of her particular act of generosity, would be forever entwined with the gospel story itself. As we consider this woman's story, let's step back for a moment. This story is about an alabaster flask of costly perfume, broken and poured out in Jesus' honor. But it's not only about the perfume. The perfume is a picture of something much greater and which cannot be seen. The perfume is a picture of this woman's love. It's a picture of her heart. It's even a picture of herself. There's a backstory here that we're not privy to. But clearly, this woman's life has been so touched by Jesus that she's no longer the same person. She has been seen for who she is. She's been seen by love. And this has healed her. This has freed her to respond to Jesus with the same love. It has freed her to be fully herself in that response. And it has given her the courage to follow Jesus and to live out her unique way of honoring him, even when it means she will be completely misunderstood. The people at this meal do not understand her. They cannot understand her. And one of the things that I love in this story is that she doesn't try to make them understand her. She leaves that work to Jesus. In fact, she doesn't even need for them to understand her, because it's Jesus' understanding of her that counts in the end. When we are seen by love, when our lives are touched by Jesus, we will respond. And there's a freedom in how we respond. In so many ways, that, I think, is what this story is about for me, the freedom in which I'm invited to respond to God's love. For this woman, that response was breaking a flask of oil perfumed with nard and anointing Jesus with it. What is your perfume?
Maybe, like hers, it's some expensive gift that honors God. Or maybe it's turning down the offer of a higher paying job to take a less remunerative job that is more in line with who you are and how God has made you to be, and that will allow you to use your skills in a way that honors Him. Or maybe it's saying yes to being available to help care for someone Jesus loves who is in need of care. Or maybe it's sacrificially saying yes to the creativity God has planted in you in a way that opens the doors for Him to use your creative gifts for His glory in the world. Or maybe your offering of oil is a stepping away for a time and saying yes to Sabbath so that you can remember who you are in Him again, and so that you can honor Him as He deserves. In what way is this story inviting you to lean into who God created you to be? Because a gift given from anything less than who God created you to be isn't a genuine gift. You see, in the end, what God wants from us is not an extraordinary act of devotion or a costly sacrifice, though it may look like that. What He ultimately wants from us is simply us. Will you pray with me? Jesus, just like You prophesied, 2,000 years later, here we are telling once again the story of the woman who poured out her devotion to You in an extravagant spilling of costly perfume. We see how much You loved that woman for who she was, and we see how much You valued her gift as an authentic expression of her transformed heart. Would You free us from our fear of being misunderstood by the crowds, and give us the courage to live our lives true to who You're calling us to be, so that we might fully honor You. Jesus, You are good, gentle, You are worthy. Like the woman, in our own way, we have each been touched by Your love. We want to honor You in our own way. May we pour out our lives for Your honor like perfume. Amen.